Good afternoon. Please open your Bibles with me to Acts 18. Acts 18. And as we are turning, I'm going to ask Daniel and Eric to pass out little cards. These are a short outline of the sermon tonight. But be turning to Acts 18. It's that first verse that you'll see on this. So for those of you that have already been through my section of scattering the seed, Andy and Randy have come up with additional ideas just for how to teach the gospel in a simple session. And for that, I made called an infographic, just a little visual representation of a story from Luke 18. And I've gotten good feedback on that. I'm going to start trying to make more of these just for commonly asked questions. And over the next couple of months, I want to try to deal with more of these and try to give you a digestible way to deal with some of the questions that you may face. So the question that we're dealing with tonight is different from the one in Luke 18, but it's one that I think certainly is applicable. All right, did they miss anybody? Good job, guys. Surpassed my expectations. All right. So looking at Acts 18, I want to ask the question, how do you begin the conversation with someone that you have different beliefs with, i.e. any other person who breathes air? anyone that you talk to, anyone at Manslick, anyone at another church in Louisville, anyone who breathes, is going to have different beliefs with you. And how do you begin this conversation? I think knowing how to start the conversation is half of the difficulty. Because we're always, I'll speak personally at least, I'm always trying to figure out, do I start with my sharpest of disagreements? Do I start with things that we agree on? Do I build common ground? Where do you go? What I'd like to do tonight is show you all how actually this is handled in the book of Acts by looking at the example of Apollos. Now, I've said for years, Apollos is my favorite character of the New Testament. Nehemiah is my favorite of the Old. Apollos is, for many reasons, I think you'll see tonight. But what I want us to do is look at the example of Apollos and see how Aquila and Priscilla's dealings with him give us an exemplar for how we begin conversations with individuals that we know we have differing beliefs with. So let's go ahead and read the text. Acts 18, verse 24 through 28. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. So here in Acts 18, we're introduced to Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla. These are our three major figures for tonight. We'll get to Paul in a minute. Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla. Now, if you look at the infographic, you'll notice here there's a tent. Why is there a tent? It's because Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. So here you have two craftsmen who, if you go just a bit earlier in Acts 18, Paul would have met and probably converted them at Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla are tent makers who meet Paul, are converted by him, and then when you get to this point, are in Ephesus preaching the gospel. So what I love about this story, so many things I love about this story. But one of the things I love most about this story is you see two tent makers as the teachers, okay? This would be the equivalent of like a carpenter or a mechanic, someone who, you know, works with their hands, probably isn't the most cerebral, but they're the ones doing the teaching. And so as they're in Ephesus here, they meet this young man, Apollos. Apollos is a scholar. Ergo, you have the undergraduate graduation cap right there. Okay, so here you have two tent makers who are going to be teaching a scholar. Now, if you were to not know this story, but you were to just know of a story of two tent makers in conversation with a scholar, how would you imagine that to go? Probably what you'd imagine is Aquila and Priscilla are going to make a tent for Apollos. He will then explain to them the way of the scriptures, the way of the Lord. He will be the one doing the explaining. It's the exact reverse in the story. Here you have the scholar who's taught by the tent makers. Because Apollos was a native of Alexandria, he had come to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. What this means, he knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. He was a rhetorician, he was a speaker, he was an orator, he was a scholar. He was just a man mighty in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being in fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught, notice this word, accurately, the things concerning Jesus. So you'll notice what Luke says, the author of Acts says about here. Apollos knew accurately the way of Jesus. He would have known Jesus was the Messiah. He would have known that Jesus came to deliver the world from darkness. Many things about Jesus he would have known. Though, verse 25, he knew only the baptism of John. So, you'll notice, here's Apollos. There are some things that he knows accurately. There are some things he does not know accurately. He knows accurately that Jesus is the Messiah. But inaccurately, he only knows about the baptism of John. Now, this is extremely important. The baptism of John was for the repentance of sins, the confession of sins. But it was not for the full forgiveness of sins, as Christ gave. It did not factor in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It did not factor in the crux of New Testament teaching concerning Jesus. So notice how Aquila and Priscilla take him. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard of him, they took him in public, called him a false teacher, and corrected him concerning the way. Thank you, Margaret. No, Margaret doesn't have a poker face. No, that's not what happens. What happens? Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So notice here, under the text, Aquila and Priscilla meet a Jew who knew only the baptism of John. What then do they do about it? I think the mistake that is made so often in conversations with anyone we disagree with is we like to find the one issue we disagree on, call them a false teacher, and have our way done. Conversation over. Brethren, that gets us nowhere. Gets us absolutely nowhere. And that's not what Aquila and Priscilla did here. Rather, what they do is they take him aside, and then verse 26, they explain to him the way of God more accurately. So under Apollos, Apollos learns the way of God more accurately. Now, I want to explain what more accurately means, okay? So, I'm going to do a little bit of statistics just because I can. In statistics, you have some things that are dichotomous. What that means is it's either zero or one, yes or no. It's all there is to it. Either accurate or inaccurate. Is that what they did here? Accurate or not accurate? The text does not say they explained to him the way of God accurately. What they did was they explained the way of God more accurately. It's not a dichotomy of zero, one, but it's what's called an interval. It's an interval of accuracy. So here when they meet Apollos, it's not just seeing him as inaccurate false teacher, but it's recognizing on this scale of accuracy, there are some things that he had accurate, but there's other things he still needed to learn. So they take him aside and they teach him the way of God more accurately. There's a whole lot that goes on in this story we're not told of, but I'm going to do some inducing. As you look at verse 27, when he wished across to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. Here, I think, is the conclusion of the passage. Apollos was willing to learn and learn the way of God more accurately. And then, whenever he wants to go to Achaia, he goes with full blessing from the brethren. They write telling the other brethren, encourage him, welcome him. Because, verse 26, he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. What then is the moral of the story? Big, bold letters. More accurately. More accurately. Brethren, here is the lesson of Apollos. Whenever we are approaching someone with whom we have disagreements, the mistake that I think is made far too often is viewing it as simply accurate or inaccurate. That's the mistake. Yes, on the day of judgment, our God will be giving that judgment. But that clear-cut judgment is not for us to make. Rather, here's what we're to do. We are to lay hold to the accuracy of truth. Seek to see what good someone knows, what good someone does, recognize where they are, and then bring them the rest of the way to teach them the way of God more accurately. Imagine you're speaking with someone who is pagan, New Age. They believe that there's spirits and different gods and divinities. How accurately do they know the way of Jesus? So here's my scale. Inaccurate over here, scale all the way over to accurate. Probably about right here. They need to learn about the one God. They need to learn about His Spirit, about His Son, about His message, about His gospel. What if you meet a Muslim? Probably more accurate than the New Age pagan. They believe in one God. They believe in the at least personhood of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in His death, burial, resurrection, which is a whole other topic. Don't believe in the cleansing blood of Jesus. There's a whole lot that they need to learn to be more accurate. What if you're talking to someone who wears the name of Christ, but doesn't really look to the Bible for authority? Probably more accurate than the pagan, but still they need to be made more accurate. Brethren, the imperative, the mission for each of us is to live and to teach the will of God more accurately in all that we do. And it's not just looking to other people and asking where are they sinning and how can they do better, but even for ourselves, how can we ourselves do the will of God more accurately? So notice then what Paul does. As you go down in Acts chapter 19, there's a similar story but with different characters. Acts 19 beginning in verse 1. Acts 19 beginning in verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. So here notice, Apollos has gone to Corinth. Paul has now come to Ephesus. And Paul finds some disciples. I think the inference is people with whom Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos would have worked. Verse 2. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Do you notice what happens here? Paul teaches the will of God more accurately. Paul here finds disciples who are at Ephesus, and there's some things that they know right. Much like Apollos, They've heard of Jesus. They know something about his role as Messiah. They know something about John's baptism. But the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and the baptism of Christ, they have not heard of. What then does Paul do? Condemn them? Tell them they're inaccurate? Give judgment? No. Paul said, verse 4, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. Here's what he's saying. There's something better here. There's something better than the baptism of John. There's now the baptism of Jesus. I know I can't keep this thing in my hand, can I, Jerry? There's now the baptism of Jesus. There's two errors that I think we can fall into. The first error, as I just said, is just saying accurate and inaccurate. Condemning, giving judgment, etc. But there's another error we can fall into. We can also fall into the error and say, well, we all have things that we're wrong in. All of us have struggles. All of us have weaknesses. So it really doesn't matter if I teach them. It doesn't matter if they know anything better. Because we all have sins. We all have issues. That's not what Paul does. When Paul sees them, he meets them where they are. And then he teaches them the will of God more accurately. Brethren, that must be our mission. To figure out where someone is, to figure out where we are, and then to do the will of God more accurately. And so then verse 5, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. They were about 12 men in all. A few months ago, one of the shepherds and I were in a study with a couple, and we were talking to them about their conversion experience. And it was evident that, it's a couple that no longer goes here, it was evident that they had some misunderstandings about the process of salvation, about the atoning blood of Jesus. Many things they believed right about Jesus. Some things I don't think they did. Practically, how do you handle that scenario? Let me tell you all what we tried to do. We tried to teach them the way of God more accurately. It was evident that especially as she talked about her baptism, she did not understand the baptism of Jesus. She just did not understand the baptism of Jesus. Given her upbringing it was a more charismatic church, she thought that baptism was more Holy Spirit baptism. And that's a whole other topic. But Holy Spirit baptism and the baptism of Christ aren't to be separated at all. So rather than just saying, well, there's some things we agree on, we'll just overlook the rest. And rather than saying, you're a false teacher, you're condemned, you're inaccurate, what do? Tried to teach the way of God more accurately. Brethren, I cannot tell you all how many times I have turned to this text in personal studies. Because the question then becomes, are each of us willing to do the will of God more accurately? So often I have felt in my studies, before I really understood this text, I was just playing the role of judge. I felt like I had all the right answers and this other person was wrong in all the right ways, and I'm just playing the role of judge. That's not how it is at all. What it is each of us as children of God are trying to do our best to learn about our God, to learn about our Savior, to follow the way of Jesus, to follow His Scriptures, to listen to His voice, to live according to the principles of His Word. And each of us then has the imperative to do the will of God more accurately. And so rather than us playing the judge, what we are doing is playing the guide to bring people and to bring ourselves and to bring one another closer to the accuracy of Jesus Christ. So rather than either just condemning as inaccurate, and rather than just overlooking differences as not important, what must we do? Teach the will of God more accurately. So then, what must we do? The conclusion of the matter is this. Let us all learn the way of God more accurately. That was a short sermon, but I'm done. You can get out your songbooks. I realize that was a short sermon, but let me tell y'all. I would honestly say in personal studies, I go to Acts 18, 24 through 28 more than any other passage of Scripture, at least to start. Now, I never end here, but this at least is our starting place, okay? So if you're talking to someone with whom you have differences about who Jesus is, about his gospel, about his plan of salvation, about his church, about any aspect, it's about learning the way of God more accurately. Follow Apollos, follow Aquila and Priscilla, follow Paul, and do the will of God more accurately. I have never done a sermon this short. I really don't know what to do. Well, I guess here's what we'll do. The most important thing, of course, is coming to Jesus. You know, I love Apollos, but I also love those brethren at Ephesus. When Apollos realized that he didn't know some things accurately, rather than just clinging on to his tradition and saying, well, this is the way I've always been, he was baptized in Christ and did things right. The brethren at Ephesus did the same thing. Each of us has the imperative to do the will of God more accurately. And if you need to take that first step toward accuracy this evening, put off the old man, put on the new, and come up a new creature. Respond to the Lord's invitation while we stand and sing.